Well, hey, everybody, this is Michelle, and on behalf of our pastor, Dr. Jack Graham, it is my privilege to welcome you to our online service right here at our Plano campus. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us today, and this is going to be a great day. You know, here at Prestonwood, things don't slow down as we get closer to summer. Things ramp up, and so today is no different. But if you would like a digital copy of our worship guide, you can text the word guide to 74788. That's guide to 74788. Send that text, and I'll be sure you receive a digital copy. And like I said, things are ramping up, and this is a special day. We're celebrating 35 years with Senior Pastor Jack Graham and his wife, Deb, and their family serving here at Prestonwood. If you would like to take a moment and drop a note and a message in our comment section, I'll be collecting those later to share with them. I know it would be an encouragement to them. We've got an amazing online team in the chat. If you have a prayer need, let us know. It would be our privilege to pray with you and for you today. We've got Dr. David McKinley in the house. He's a former Prestonwood teaching pastor, and he now serves as a pastor in Georgia. So this is going to be an awesome day. But right now, whether you're a city away or an ocean away, from right where you are, a worship service begins now.
Stars ablaze, and only one could breathe life into clay. Only one can quiet raging seas. Only one has power to redeem. We lift up the name that's above every name today. Come on, sing it with me. Only one spoke countless stars ablaze. Only one could breathe life into clay. Only one can quiet raging sea. Only one has power to breathe.
Lift it up.
All the praise goes to Jesus. All the praise to Him alone. All the glory and honor forevermore. All the praise to Him alone. Only one
deserves all our praise. Say, I believe.
I believe there's one salvation, one doorway that leads to life, one redemption, one confession. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Crucifixion, by his blood I have been set free. I believe in resurrection, hallelujah, his life is destined.
We lift our praise, all praise.
All praise to God the Father, all praise to Christ the Son, all praise to the Holy Spirit, our God has overcome. For me, far beyond what hearts imagine, ears have heard or eyes have seen it. I believe that day is coming, he's returning to claim his bride. Light the altar, keep it burning, see a lamb who rolls on glory high. All praise to God the Father, to the Holy Spirit, our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name, I live.
No, I'll never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life? No, I'll never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Remain standing. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord today? How many believe God? Raise your hand if you believe Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. How's everybody? Are y'all excited? Isn't it good to be with each other today? Well, welcome to Prestonwood. Those of you that have joined us here and those of you who are joining us online, welcome to Prestonwood and welcome to the Lord's house, period. How many know this is God's house? Yes, it is, and we're happy to be with you all today. If you're a first-time guest, would you please do us a favor? Take your phone and text the word CONNECT to 74788. Text the word CONNECT to 747-88. So that's like a 747 plane. And Michael Irvin's football number. That's kind of an inside joke because I didn't play for the Cowboys. But anyway, 747-88, the word connect. And we just want to give you information what's going on in the life of our church. And if we can pray for you, serve you, we would love to do so. How many are expecting God to do great things today? Amen. Well, it's a real special day. On top of it being the Lord's Day, we're celebrating today our pastor, Dr. Jack Graham, for 35 years. Yeah. 35 years of being the senior pastor of Prestonwood Baptist Church. It's been a tremendous journey and a long road. It was in the first Sunday of May, 35 years ago, that Dr. Graham came to Prestonwood in view of the call. Dr. Graham, we're so grateful that you answered the bell and said yes to God to be the senior pastor of Prestonwood. You and Deb and your family have been such a tremendous blessing. You know, I asked Dr. Graham, what is the thing that comes to your mind first, the most memorable thing? And he said, it's the salvations. It's the people that have been trained up and sent out to go propagate the gospel locally and around the world. And if you know Dr. Graham, you know his heart. He is a churchman. He preaches unashamedly the gospel of Jesus Christ out of the word of God, and he loves God's people. So y'all, can we all give a hand of thanks for Dr. Jack Graham on this 35-year anniversary? Amen. 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 Yeah. All right. Thank you. Well, in the spirit of celebration, I want to introduce and bring up a gentleman who really needs no introduction. He's a dear, dear brother, friend, pastor of Prestonwood and really the kingdom. I want to introduce to some and bring up before all Dr. O.S. Hawkins. Dr. Hawkins is the former pastor of the historic First Baptist Church in Dallas. He's the president emeritus of Godstone Financial Resources, where he served as president and CEO of 25 years. He currently serves as a chancellor of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He's also authored over 50 books, including the Code Books, which I hope all of you have had an opportunity to read. And his newest book on Dr. W.A. Criswell, Dr. Hawkins, and his beautiful wife, Susie, and their family are longtime members of Prestonwood. Dr. Hawkins and Dr. Graham have been knowing each other a long time. And I'm just going to say long, because it's real long. But anyway, he'll tell you about that ever since high school. But Dr. Hawkins, would you please come up and give us a word of testimony? Please, Dr. O.S. Hawkins.
Well, Scott leads the nation in making announcements, doesn't he? He can do it. Well, it's a pleasure to be here this morning and to say a few brief words about my lifelong buddy, Jack Graham. You know, downtown some time ago, looking at one of those big skyscrapers, I heard somebody say, that building has structural integrity. And what did they mean by that? They meant that that beautiful building, you see those 40 stories of steel and glass and all the beauty of it, it stands there because it has a hidden life, a solid foundation. So, you know, most of the thousands of us that gather every week at Prestonwood and see Jack Graham up here, we only see that public part of his life. Not a lot of you really know the hidden life, the private life, like I do from friends from teen years. So for just a few minutes, I want to pull back the curtain and give you a picture of who the real Jack Graham is. I won't tell you everything, but I'll tell you a lot of who this real person is. And I have a right to do that because I've known him longer than anybody in this room. We met when we were both teenagers in East Fort Worth, where we grew up, where we were both called to the ministry, where we preached together in those teen years. And Jack had a great mom and dad, loved him, nurtured him. I mean, a really great mom and dad. I did too. And my mom and dad and Jack's mom and dad sat at our church, Sagamore Hill Baptist Church. They sat together every Sunday because Jack and I were on the lower economic end of about all of our peers in high school. And as we were growing up, our folks, I don't think, ever made $10,000 a year in their life. Jack's dad was tragically murdered when Jack was still a teenager. My dad worked for the city of Fort Worth all of his life. Jack's dad managed a hardware store in a grocery store. But they gave us a lot. You know, when we were teenagers, all the kids, 16, 17, started getting cars. I wish I could bring on this platform today Jack's first car and show it to you. It was an old Rambler that he paid $75 for and financed most of that, I think. And we double dated all every Friday night together back in those days. And I never wanted to go in his car because in the back, the floorboard was all rusted out. There was no floorboard. The only time you got to put your feet down and rest was when you came to a stoplight or something. Literally. And you could put them down there. But, you know, back there when we were teenagers, Jack and I didn't need really nice cars to get the girls. We got all the girls without all those nice cars. The other thing we had that went a long way in who we are today is we had a pastor who loved us and who literally became a second father to both of us. Jack and I were ordained to the ministry on the same night together with our fiancés sitting out there on the front row. We were married the same summer of 1970. We were there. Jack often jokes to say we've been such good friends all our lives that it sort of reminds some people of that old country song. It says, "My wife just left with my best friend, and I sure do miss him." But that's a joke. That's just a joke. But back there when we were teenagers in the 60s, we preached anywhere we could. We didn't have a church. We were just young kids, but we were called to preach. We preached on the street corners in Fort Worth, the rescue missions, nursing homes, anywhere we could find a pulpit. In the 70s, we both were pastors in Oklahoma at Hobart. Then I was at Ada, he was at Hobart, then he was at Duncan. So we were together in Oklahoma in the 70s. 15 years, I was at First Baptist Fort Lauderdale. Jack was at First Baptist Church West Palm the majority of those years. We were 30 miles apart from each other in Florida. And then in the 90s, 89, 35 years ago, Jack came back to Preston, and I came to be pastor of First Baptist Church Dallas. Our whole lives, we've just been wedded together. So as we think about, as I wind this down, about this hidden life, there are a few dastardly deeds that come from him. You need to know who this person is you hear preaching every Sunday. You know, for example, one of them, when I came to be pastor of First Baptist Dallas, it was kind of a big deal in those days. Dr. Criswell had been there 50 years. He was a legend. He was a world figure. And I came to succeed him. And it was news in the newspaper, et cetera. My first Sunday as pastor there, the reporter that was writing the article had called Jack that week, having heard that he and I had been friends since teenage years. And Jack told him, he said, "You know, the thing that OS is most proud of is that he was a champion roller skater." So my first Sunday as pastor of First Baptist Dallas, the front page of the Dallas Morning News says, "Former roller skating champion becomes pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas." That's really the kind of person that you think is so pious. But I'd say the best thing was we both pastored Hobart, Oklahoma. County seat town, southwestern Oklahoma, was my first full-time pastorate, his first full-time pastorate. I was there in the early 70s. He came in the mid-70s. And we both loved that church. That church gave us so much. And so 20 years ago, they were having their 100th anniversary. And I was down at First Baptist, and Jack was here. And they invited us both back to speak on Sunday morning of the 100th anniversary of the church and the city. And so I had a little something, so I got off late. Susie and I were in the car behind Jack and Deb about 30 minutes, and they were going up there, and we wanted to get there about the same time. So I was putting the pedal to the metal, trying to get up there. And Jack, we were talking on the phone back and forth. They were up ahead of us, Jack and Deb. And when you cross the Red River and going to Hobart through Frederick, it's a straight line, 50 miles, so flat you could stand on a brick and see the Atlantic and the Pacific, except for one or two little dips around Frederick, Oklahoma. So Jack's going through there, and he comes over one of those dips, and he gets pulled over by a patrolman, and he stops him. He's speeding, and the patrolman said, Jack, said, and the patrolman said, you know, you're speeding. He said, sir, I'm sorry. I'm as guilty as I can be. I was pastor up at Hobart, and we're headed up there for their 100th anniversary. The patrolman said, really? He said, I was just up at Hobart in the parade. I drove my patrol car in the 100th anniversary parade to the city. He said, son, he said, I've got one last warning ticket, and I'm going to give it to you. And he gave him a warning. And Jack said, sir, you've been so nice to me. I want to tell you something that'll make your whole week's quota. About 10 or 15 minutes behind me, there's coming a guy, and he is trying to catch me. There's no telling how fast he's going right now. And if you just sit right here. And so Jack gets back in the car, and he calls me on the mobile phone and said, listen, it's clear sailing, man. We're just headed toward Hobart. Just bring it on. Cost me $381. That was 20 years ago. That's really the kind of person that's the pastor of this church. So if I had to put one verse seriously that I would try to frame the life of Jack Graham, I would pick what Asaph, the psalmist, said of King David when he said in Psalm 78:72 that he led his people with the integrity of his heart and the skillfulness of his hands. Integrity and excellence. And I'm so grateful Jack's lived his life, had these decades of ministry without one shred of any kind of scandal, moral failure or money failure or motives. He's lives a life of integrity and excellence. You know, the thing that separates Preston Wood from everything that's done here is done, like Asaph the psalmist said, with excellence, whether it's the school or the church, whatever it is. And so we thank God for that. You know, in my Bible reading this week, I've been reading through Job. And yesterday, I was Job 12, verse 9. There's a question. And it asks this question. It says, is there any among us who does not know that it is the hand of the Lord who's done this? And on this anniversary, I just look around this church, I look around this property, I look around this worldwide influence, and I ask that question, is there anyone who doesn't know that it's the hand of the Lord that's done this? You know, when God wants to do something, he uses a person. If he wants to deliver a nation, he picks a Moses to be emancipator. If he wants to reach a Mediterranean world in one generation with the gospel, he picks an apostle Paul who gave you half your New Testament. And we're grateful as a church that 35 years ago, God reached down and picked out Jack Graham to come and to lead with integrity and excellence. And, you know, truth is, I've never seen that buddy of mine more energized, more enthused about the future of the church, more engaged in the ministry, and more excited about preaching the gospel than he is today. And so I know that the greatest years of Preston Wood are still in front of all of us. So Jack, thank you, not for what you've done, but mainly who you are. And I just want all of us, I know all of us, you join me in saying what Paul said to his friend Philemon when he said in Philemon 7, we say to you, Jack, your love has given us great hope and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. God bless. Happy anniversary.
The story of Preston Wood is a story of the faithfulness of God. When we take the time to remember and tell the stories to our children and our children's children, we stir our gratitude for what He has done, and we strengthen our expectant faith of what He will do in the future. So, like Joshua and the Israelites and the stones of remembrance in the Jordan riverbed, we stack the stones of our stories of how God has met us, guided us, provided for us, and entrusted us with more than we could ask, think, or imagine. For the past 35 years, Jack Graham has led us through moments of triumph and valleys of crisis, through storms of grief and celebrations of healing. He has faithfully walked alongside us in pastoral service and sacrifice. And as a community today, we take time to stack the stones, to tell the stories, and to celebrate as we remember. Following Pastor Graham's arrival as a pastor in 1989, the church experienced unprecedented growth, bursting at the seams in our original location of Hillcrest and Arapahoe in North Dallas. Our problem was a good one. We needed more room to house all the families coming to faith and joining our community. Pastor Graham sensed the Lord's calling us to move. But the relocated church of our size was unprecedented. The Lord spoke, and we followed. And 25 years ago this month, Preston Wood opened its brand new location on the road called Hebron, which means face-to-face with God. We serve a God who is life. He is at the center of creation itself. While preaching against the sins of abortion on a Sunday in the early 1980s, Pastor Graham felt the Spirit speak to him, asking, "What are you going to do to champion the life of the unborn and mothers in crisis?" At that defining moment, Pastor Graham was led to begin a pregnancy center in the church he was pastoring at the time in Florida. When he came to Prestonwood, a major priority was to begin the same ministry here, and Prestonwood Pregnancy Center launched in 1991. In the past 33 years, Prestonwood Pregnancy Center has seen more than 187,000 client visits, with nearly 4,900 clients making professions of faith, and 86% of clients have chosen life for their babies. Training the next generation of leaders with a biblical worldview and a kingdom education was in the heart of our pastor and church leaders. So in 1997, Prestonwood Christian Academy was launched with 300 students. Now the PCA school system has more than 2,200 students in 5 schools. PCA has awarded more than $47 million in tuition grants to families in need. And we have seen countless students and parents decide to follow Jesus. One of the signs of great leadership is understanding culture and meeting people where they are. In the burgeoning North Texas landscape, sports are huge in the lives of many young families. Under Pastor Graham's leadership, Prestonwood Sports Organization was launched in 1999 to connect with our community and serve them in a dynamic way. Today, more than 9,000 people are involved in PSO in some way, making it the largest program of its kind in the country. Since its founding, more than 150,000 lives have been touched by PSO. Prosper and Salina and the surrounding communities have been among the fastest growing in the country. Our members spoke up for us to reach this northern region, and Pastor Graham and our church leadership responded. After much praying and planning, we expanded into the Prosper Salina area. We began with just a few families and homes. Then, after growing into a local high school, God provided once again. In 2008, we built and opened a state-of-the-art campus on a beautiful 127-acre plot of prime real estate on the Dallas North Tollway and U.S. Highway 380 corridor. Today, nearly 7,800 call the North Campus their church home, and nearly 2,500 have professed faith in Christ. One of the fastest-growing ministries in our history is Prestonwood in Espanol. Since its launch in 2009, we now meet in 2 locations with more than 3,500 members representing 22 countries. In our beloved Hispanic communities, we have seen nearly 2,000 give their heart to Jesus. We know it's not just about our community, but the communities across America and the world that need thriving churches. In 2011, we launched the Prestonwood Network to help plant churches and intentionally invest in the coming generation of leaders. Pastor Graham and the ministry staff of Prestonwood are actively connected to more than 175 pastors of churches across North America. Providing support and resources is key to their success. And to date, Prestonwood has provided more than $3.3 million to these growing churches. The thread that runs through it all, the cornerstone of our stories of remembrance, is God's message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, going to the ends of the earth, changing lives for all eternity. In 1994, Pastor and Deb Graham founded PowerPoint Ministries to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. Through radio, television, and the internet, millions are hearing the gospel somewhere in the world every single day. Pastor Graham is not only a world-renowned preacher, but he is also a noted best-selling author of dozens of books, including his most recent book, Reignite, Fresh Focus for an Enduring Faith. In addition to faithfully pastoring Prestonwood to now more than 59,000 members, he has served as chairman of the National Day of Prayer, as well as two terms as president of the Southern Baptist Convention from 2002 to 2004. In 2022, his Bible in a Year podcast launched in partnership with Pray.com and iHeartRadio. It has now surpassed 47 million downloads, making it one of the most downloaded podcasts in any genre. Number one on the Spotify religion list. In the coming months, the podcast will be translated into various languages, beginning with Spanish. We know it's not just one man, but the entire family that shoulders the burden of ministry. We thank God for Pastor Graham's wife, Deb, and their children, Jason, Kelly, and Josh, who are also intricately involved in leadership in the church. Together with their spouses and the great eight grandchildren, this entire family is leaving a legacy for generations to come. They say everything rises and falls on leadership. So as we stack the stones of remembrance in our journey at Prestonwood Baptist Church, we thank God for the miracles we've witnessed, the countless lives changed forever, and His presence with us every step of the way. We thank God for sending us a faithful pastor and anointed leader in Dr. Jack Graham. Happy 35th anniversary, Pastor Graham.
And it's so wonderful to see the hand of God moving on behalf of Prestonwood. You know, the Bible says, to the faithful, God shows himself faithful. And Dr. Graham, Deb, their family have been faithful for these 35 years as leading Prestonwood. And as I was watching the video, it just reminded me of the faithfulness of God. Through hardship, through trial, through mountains, through valleys. And this is an encouragement to us as the body, as the church. God can do the same thing in you. Amen? You may not be called to be a pastor, but you as a believer are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and a witness for him. I asked you when I came up here before, are you believing God today? We see what God has done. And you know what? He is not finished. And that includes all of us. Amen? Well, we have a wonderful, wonderful pastor bringing the message today. He is not a guest here. He is beloved by all of us. His name is Dr. David McKinley. Yes. Dr. McKinley has been the senior pastor of Warren Baptist Church in Augusta, Georgia for 15 years this fall. How many of y'all ever been to Augusta before? Well, you need to go, and you need to go see Dr. McKinley at his church. You thought I was going to say the Masters. No, go to Warren Baptist Church and see Dr. McKinley. He served as teaching pastor here, also as an associate pastor here at Prestonwood. He is one of the greatest Bible teachers in our land, in our country. Myself and all of us have been blessed by him. Dr. McKinley and Dr. Graham have been brothers in the ministry for over 40 years. And we're happy today to welcome back Dr. David McKinley and his wonderful wife, Connie. Welcome back to Prestonwood. We're so gracious, grateful to have you here. Before Dr. McKinley brings our message today, I want to bring up our brother Ron Murph to the platform to give the offertory prayer. Ron Murph, who has been a faithful, faithful brother, he and his wife Cheryl here at Prestonwood. Ron currently serves as the chairman of the trustees. He also has been the chair of the deacon board, our faithful men who serve the ministry at Prestonwood. And one historical marker, Ron was the chairman of the search committee that brought Dr. Graham to Prestonwood. So isn't this a wonderful time to be together? So Ron, please give our offertory prayer.
Pray with me if you will. Father God, first of all, this morning, we honor you, we worship you, and pray. All we say and do brings glory to you. We're so grateful Jack is our pastor, and we do take time to honor and celebrate how you have used him to lead our church. We are grateful in the spring of 1989 that Jack was sensitive and open to your voice and your leading for him to come to be the pastor of this church that was in a tough spot. We are grateful for his loyalty, his character, his faithfulness, his steadfastness. We have seen him model that first message that he preached out of Proverbs 3. We have seen how he has not leaned on his own understanding, how he has acknowledged you in all things, and how you have directed his path. Father, continue to bless him, to use him, to protect him from the enemy, and to guide him as he leads our church. Bless and use this offering to expand your kingdom. Be with David as he preaches your word today. Thank you for loving us. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
In Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won, for I've been blessed beyond measure, and by his strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hands, but those trophies could not equal the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my soul of strength and my source of hope is Christ alone. Christ alone will I glory, for only by his grace I am redeemed, and tender mercy could reach beyond my weakness to my need. Now I seek no greater honor than just to know I'm
I think that's better than a pimento cheese sandwich and Amen Corner on Sunday afternoon at the Masters. That was a holy wow. Amen. And congratulations to Dallas's own Scotty Scheffler, number one in the world, Masters champion this year. Pretty exciting, and I love that, and I love his faith and his witness for Christ. What a tremendous joy, blessing, honor, privilege it is to stand here with you today and to open a time capsule of the heart and to reflect and to remember and just to rejoice in everything that God has done and God is continuing to do in the life and in the ministry of Prestonwood. And Connie and I have been blessed by the grace of God to share a decade of our life as a part of these 35 years. And you have known us and loved us and prayed for us and our family and our children. Just because I know some of you and have known you well and your families, I wanted to bring a quick snapshot, just let you see where we are today. I think we've got this picture of us today. I've got, of course, two kids, Joseph and Mary Liz, their husband and wife, and we now have 8 grandchildren. And so 8 is wonderful, exciting, and 8 is enough. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. I don't really mean that. It's wonderful, and we love every day of life that we get to share and have shared together. And I just wanted to give you that little quick snapshot of our family. But as you know, every chapter of life is marked with joys and with challenges, with conquest and victories, with all kinds of blessings and burdens. But in and through it all, we over and over prove the faithfulness of God. And that has been the testimony, and that has been the ministry here at Prestonwood. And as I speak about chapters of life, I think about the chapters of so many of the books that I have on my library in my study. And while I have books on every subject that you can imagine, Bible commentaries and all the issues of the day, probably one of my favorite areas of reading through the years has been to focus on leadership. I have over 100 books on leadership in my library. But of all the books that I have, possibly my favorite is one that was written in 1967 by J. Oswald Sanders called Spiritual Leadership. And today, I want to just read one paragraph out of that book to you. He says, if the world is to hear the church's voice today, leaders are needed who are authoritative, spiritual, sacrificial. Authoritative because people desire reliable leaders who know where they are going and are confident getting there. Spiritual because without strong relationship to God, even the most attractive and competent person cannot lead people to God. And sacrificial because this trait follows the model of Jesus, who gave himself for the whole world and who calls us to follow in his steps. As I read that paragraph, I thought about Pastor Graham. I thought about this church, and I thought about those three words: authoritative, sacrificial, spiritual. That really is the journey of Prestonwood Church. And that is exactly what I believe the Apostle Paul highlighted and echoed and ultimately sought to teach his young protege, Timothy, when he wrote to him in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So take your Bible this morning, open with me, 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want us to look at one verse of Scripture, and I want you to read it aloud with me, because I believe that this captures the 35 years that we are celebrating today as we look at it and as we reflect upon it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I want us to read together verse 10. Are you ready? Let's say it together, church. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. To this end we toil and strive, having set our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. William Barclay, in his commentary, said, here is a passage close packaged with practical advice, not only for Timothy, but for any teacher or any servant of the church who is charged with the duty of work and leadership in the church. And I believe that if I had to just say, how do we look at these years, these days, this moment, and bring it all together, I believe that this day is all about something that OS said a moment ago. It's about celebrating a ministry of excellence. Celebrating a ministry of excellence. If you go back up just a few verses to verse 6, in verse 6, Timothy said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, he said, if you put these things before the people, the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of good doctrine that you have followed. That word good is repeated twice in that passage. It is the Greek word kalos, which literally can be translated something that is beautiful, something that is useful, something that is suitable, something that is commendable, something that is excellent. And 14 times in 5 chapters, Paul echoes this idea of excellence in ministry, this idea of a character, of a quality, of a standard in the ministry of the church. And of course, that has been the standard and the character of this ministry. When Jack Graham arrived here 35 years ago, from the very outset, he brought a simple phrase that I believe he got in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and ultimately brought here and used it and shared it here. It was simply this statement: excellence in all things. Do you know what the rest of it is? And all things to the glory of God. In fact, if you go today to the Preston Wood website and you touch the tab that says about, you will get very quickly a little drop box, and that you'll see the 6 core values of Preston Wood. And do you know what the number one core value of Preston Wood is? Excellence. Excellence in all things. Because everything that we do, everything this ministry is and about, has been about the glory of God and doing it to the highest possible standard and the highest level for the glory of God. Amen. So having seen that and having experienced that and having shared that together, I want to just go back and reflectively echo what Paul said to Timothy about what builds a ministry of excellence. Number one, when he talked about it, he said this: a church of excellence, a ministry of excellence, requires service and sacrifice. It requires service and sacrifice. What did he say? To this end, we labor and toil. Now, if you go back to the first verse of that chapter, he talks about the fact that we are engaged in a conflict, a spiritual battle, and that ultimately there are deceiving spirits and teachings of demons, and there are latter times that will come when no one will believe anything but lies. But he said, in the midst of all of this, I'm calling you. I'm calling you to engage. I'm calling you to fight. I'm calling you to serve and to sacrifice. And the words that he uses to capture that are the words toil and strive. Toil and strive. The word toil is a word that literally means to work to the point of exhaustion. It literally means to carry the load as far as it needs. It means hard labor. It's not half-hearted effort. It is all-in engagement. And through these years, there's been a lot of toil to bring this church to the place that it is today. But Paul also said, and to this end we strive. That word is the Greek word agonizomai, which literally is the word from which we get our word agony. It's the idea of someone who in competition, in a sporting event, lays it all on the field, pours it all out, gives everything to get to the goal, to the end, to the win. And just as in the ancient world, there were all sorts of games, Olympic games that were popular. And of course, just as it is today, sports is an idol in and of itself. And I don't have to talk in this town about competition and sports and loyalty. But in that day, there was a fascination with the sporting events and with the arena and with the games. And Paul often used that concept to try to encourage and to engage people in the work of ministry. And he simply said, if you are indeed to be a people of excellence, you must serve and you must sacrifice. The Christian life is at the same time exhilarating and exhausting. It really is. And there have been so many moments of unbelievable exhilaration that have been shared in this place. But believe me, there have been many days of absolute exhaustion as you have poured out your lives together for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What did Paul say? He said, to this end, we labor and strive. To this end, we. I love that we. Because I know Pastor Graham would be the first person to say, this has not been a me ministry. This has been a we ministry. That over and over again, what has made Prestonwood the church that it is that we come to celebrate today, not the result of a man who had some massive church growth strategy or someone who simply had the greatest innovation, but someone who was able to get people to come alongside and who were willing to bear the burden of this ministry and the missional passion of this church on their backs. And you have stood together and you have walked together and you have worked together and you've been striving together, and all to the glory of God, he has built a mighty, magnificent ministry of excellence. Amen? Amen. It has impacted this city, has impacted the world. And today we celebrate what God has done. Prestonwood is not a half-hearted, lukewarm church. It is a church that is vibrant and that is thriving. And how I thank God for all that he has done and continues to do. Now, Connie and I have had a backstage pass from the very beginning. In 1989, we were serving with Jack and Deb down in South Florida. And we began to become aware of, well, the rumblings of a possible life change that would ultimately culminate in them moving their family and coming here and being a part of this event and this great adventure that has unfolded. But I certainly want you to know that as that journey began with your pastor, with Deb, and with that committee led by Ron Murph, that there were a lot of challenges. Prestonwood was living in an era of a shadow. The church had been astronomical in its growth, its leadership, its influence. But suddenly the church faced a crisis, and there were difficult days, and the flock was scattered and battered and discouraged. But God had been preparing a man, and God had been using his message already, and God brought him to this church. And from the very earliest days that he arrived, he began to issue a new challenge, not to engage in conflict and controversy, but Jack stood up and said, forward by faith. And with that motto and with that commitment, Prestonwood began to move into the new future that God had for him. And God began to do what we see and what we share and experience today. But don't for a moment think that there have not been plenty of exit doors and off ramps for his heart to be able to have made this a short story. Because beyond just the initial challenge of regaining a focus and a vision for the future, just because I'm a pastor and know the life and the ministry of that we engage in, I can't begin to tell you the burdens that every pastor bears as he seeks to preach and to pray, as he seeks to carry the well-being of the responsibility of the church and families, of the tragedies and the tests and the trials that come. And then there's the endless clatter of criticism and the social media mobs and the misunderstanding of motives and decisions. But in it all and through it all, there's been this continued desire, this continued resolve that we will toil and strive to build a ministry of excellence. Let me quote J. Oswald Sanders again. He says, "If he is unwilling to pay the price of fatigue for his leadership, it will always be mediocre. True leadership always exacts a heavy toll on the whole man. And the more effective the leadership is, the higher the price to be paid." Don't for a minute think that this has all happened, this ministry of excellence, without a high price of toil and striving and labor. But to the glory of God, it has been done. There's a second thing that Paul mentions in this passage, and that is not only that a ministry of excellence is something that requires service and sacrifice, but let's be very clear, it is something that rests on truth and triumphant hope. It is a ministry that rests upon the firm foundation of truth and triumphant hope. Look at what he says here. He said, "We have set our hope on the living God." We have set our hope. The idea of setting means something that is fixed, something that is on a foundation, something that remains. If you look at it linguistically, it's there in the perfect tense, which means it is something that happened in the past, but it continues to have effect in the present and even into the future. And that's exactly what had happened in the heart of your pastor. And it's something that has continued to be true of the life and the ministry of this church. Today, we celebrate the effect of that hope, of that truth, and that triumphant hope 35 years later. But it was something that God had been shaping and building in the heart of your pastor. I want to echo what O.S. Hawkins said. "I've never known a person with greater authenticity of character or with a more pure dependency of faith than your pastor and Deb. They are people who are who they are for the glory of God. If there are two things that I absolutely despise in the ministry, it is pastors who masquerade their agenda and pastors who parade their piety. And I want you to know your pastor does neither one of those. He's never had an agenda except for one, for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And everything that he has done has been to build a word-driven, word-focused, word-believing ministry. And through the power and the truth of the word of God, God has built up a strong and a mighty church. But in the process of that, he has also been someone who has never been about piety, parading piety. I guess, O.S., we'd have to say that Dr. Swank probably knocked a lot of that out of both of you. I don't know how many of you know the story, but when Jack was 16 years old, he believed God was calling him to preach. Every time he comes around, he's with my staff, I have him tell this story. And he went to a prayer garden one morning on a retreat, and as he was there in a summer camp, he was praying and he was surrendering to God, and he had done his business with God and said, "God, I'm giving you my life. I'm willing to preach the gospel." And as he was there that day and as he was sharing that day, he saw Brother Swank walking across the field, and he just knew that it was a divine appointment, that God had put his pastor in front of him so that he could get up from his knees and run over and tell his pastor that God was calling him to preach. But as he ran and as he approached Brother Swank in that moment, Swank had his baseball glove under his arm, and he was walking very distinctively and aggressively toward the baseball field. Every year there was a big baseball game that was between the pastor and his team and the others. Jack ran up to Brother Swank and said, Brother Swank, I believe God's calling me to the ministry. And he said, "I just saw you and I needed to come tell you." Swank looked at him and said, "That's great, Graham. If God's calling you now, he'll be calling you after this baseball game. Go get your glove. Let's play ball." Well, that'll knock you down. But you know what? It didn't stop anything because it was true. When God calls, he calls. And the circumstances and events and the emotions are not what matter. What matters is the resolve and the focus. And that resolve and that focus was proven not only then and in that moment and in what you see today, but far beyond that in some experiences in life. Jack and Deb knew both of my parents. And in the early years in West Palm, my parents would come down and we would have family gatherings at Christmas and Thanksgiving. And that's kind of where our lives were forged together, was family and ministry and friendship. And we shared some wonderful things, but I never knew either one of their fathers. And at the risk of sharing a story that's not my own, it is a story that was defining, and that is that in the very first year of their marriage, Deb's father was diagnosed with a catastrophic disease and died. And Jack's father was murdered by a shoplifter in a store where he was working. A young couple with dreams and a heart and a desire to be used of God suddenly had, as though it were, all the props taken out from under them. And knowing life and knowing what happens, it would have been so easy in that moment for that young couple to have immediately just stepped back and just simply allowed disappointment with God to become an excuse for stepping back or disengaging or being disillusioned or beginning to somehow deconstruct their faith or somehow become traumatized. But I want you to know, this couple went to the foot of the cross and they surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ and they said, "God, you will bring us through and we will go forward." And they have carried out a ministry to declare the light and the hope and the truth of the gospel because they set their hope on the living God. Amen. And in the midst of all of that, through dark days and deep waters, for many of you with infertility and infidelity and miscarriages and devastating losses of your own and difficult circumstances and a declining culture, they have stood with you, they have loved you, they have given you hope and encouragement. And I believe they've proven something that I just read a few days ago and would echo to you about their life and ministry, that tragedy doesn't ruin us, hopelessness does. Tragedy doesn't ruin us. None of us can avoid tragedy. It comes. But what destroys us is hopelessness. When we no longer have our hopes set. But your pastor has helped you through the preaching of the truth and the proclamation of a triumphant hope to set your hope on the living God. Titus chapter 2, again in the pastoral epistles, Paul wrote this beginning in Titus 2 and in verse 13. He said, "We are waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." That is the hope. The living hope that has been echoed from this place through these years. There's one final thing that Timothy talks about here in this passage. He says, "For to this end we labor and strive, having set our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially those who believe. A ministry of excellence reflects testimonies and life transformation." A ministry of excellence reflects testimonies and life transformation. The end of this verse talks about the one who is the Savior of all people. Christ and Christ alone is the Savior. The message of Jesus Christ is a message of grace that is extended for all to receive, but it is a grace that is effective in the hearts of those who believe. And if there's one message that I know you've heard, because I've heard it echoed so many times, it has been your pastor passionately pleading the word of the Savior. Savior is the working title of Jesus in the New Testament. It's the title that declares to us the message of the gospel. And the message of the gospel is clear and plain, that God, in his magnificent creation, originated, designed human beings in this planet. God made you, God made me. He made us to know him, to experience him, to love him. But of course, sin came into the world. And the impact of that sin, that default, that damage that was done in the garden with Adam has reverberated. It has been a perfect reality that has gone on to every generation. And from Adam to every one of us, we are sinners. We are fallen. We are disobedient. We are distorted. And the design of God is no longer seen to be all that it is intended. But God, in his love and mercy, sent his son Jesus Christ to come from heaven, to become one of us, to step into the mess and the misery of this world, to take the consequence of sin and the suffering of sin. And Jesus was nailed to a cross, the Savior who took our place and died in our place, so that everyone who looks to him and believes on his name will be saved. That is the message of the gospel, and that is the message of this pulpit, and that has been the mission of Preston Wood. From the very beginning, as it says in your own mission statement, that it would be that you would use the most effective means possible to reach the world for Christ. And when we look at the local church, and when we look at the global partnerships, and when we look at the community impact, and when we look at Preston Wood Christian Academy, and when we look at the impact of Preston Wood Sports Organization, and when we look at the national conferences that you have done, even as recently as something like your Chosen Conference that received national recognition and attention, when you look at PowerPoint and the massive reach of that, and now this reach of Pray.com, nearly 50 million downloads. Do you realize that is almost 10 million more than the largest state in the United States of America? This platform, this ministry has never echoed further the power and the message of the gospel. And while Christ is sufficient to save all, his salvation is extended in particular to those who believe on his name. And what does it mean to believe? It means to trust. It means to rest. It means to rely. And I would just ask you today, have you believed on the name of Jesus? Not do you know about Jesus. Not do you just believe the things that you hear at church in the sense of, yeah, those are the things I align with. I'm talking about trusting, believing, putting your faith in Jesus Christ. How essential this is for everyone. Well, my time is gone and I want to close. But I want to close with this. On that very first Sunday that Jack came to be the pastor at Preston Wood, the first Sunday in June of 1989, Connie and I had the privilege of being there then on that day. And as a church welcomed a new pastor, they did a celebration that was done Preston Wood style. It was dinner on the grounds after the church. And because Preston Wood does everything with decency and in order, they had ordered boxes of fried chicken for every single life group, every ministry class, and they were stacked in every one of the classrooms. The smell of fried chicken was all over the church. And everybody got out and went to their classrooms, and they were all there with all that chicken, and they were eating and celebrating, and the church was excited, and there was this new pastor. But Connie and I were still there long after everyone had begun to leave. And I'm telling you, what had originally been an unbelievable aroma was just beginning to permeate the building. And every one of those classrooms were full of boxes of chicken bones. Ugly, greasy chicken bones. You've heard that old adage, what came first, the chicken or the egg? I walked around thinking, what's remaining, the thigh or the leg? You know, you just wondered, what's here? And I looked at what almost looked like a funeral home for chicken and a tragedy that day. But I could have never imagined what God was beginning to do. Amen. God didn't send Jack to a church of dry bones. He sent him to a church full of greasy chicken bones. But I'm going to tell you, God took those bones And God began to build that church. And today, Prestonwood stands as a strong, dynamic, vibrant church filled with Christ followers who are anything but chickens. Because this church is full of people who are committed to a ministry of excellence. Excellence in all things, and all things to the glory of God. So to this end, we labor and strive, having set our hope on the living God, who is the Savior to all men, but especially those who believe. Amen. Lord, thank you today. Thank you today for all that you have done and all that you are doing in the life and the ministry of this church. And God, all we can do today is to stand here and to echo with joy and gratitude, with humility and with overwhelming delight, Lord, what you have done and are continuing to do. I thank you, Lord, for people, thousands who have walked these aisles to trust in Jesus. Lord, I thank you for people who have walked out these doors to go minister in places, in the remote places of the world. And to, Lord, even on this hour today, fill pulpits across America and the world, preaching the gospel. And all of it has been because, Lord, you, the Savior, have brought deliverance and have given purpose and power in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the testimony and the transformed lives of this ministry. But Lord, I pray that it wouldn't just be something that we look back on, but it's something that we would see and experience here and now today. And I pray that it would be done to the glory of Jesus, in whose name we pray.